You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, February 25th, episode 3892, brought to you today by Chewy Equine. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. Deanne is here today with the latest headlines from Horse Nation. And Dr. Wendy is going to explain what cold means in traditional Chinese medicine and its effect on you and your horse. Thought that was appropriate for today. And also, Jamie's going to give us an update on our new horse. I don't even know if it's arrived yet or not. And we have a dose of truly weird news. So we're going to get to all of that in just a minute. But last night, Jennifer and I had dinner with Samantha Clark, my old host of the WEG shows. And Reese was here from Dressage, and she was in town. And also, we had dinner with a Grand Prix rider, Jody Kelly. Well, it was so nice to see Samantha and Reese. I hadn't seen Samantha in years. I mean, we talked, but I haven't seen her in years. And I actually haven't seen Reese in years either. It's so funny. And I was thinking about this. Jody Kelly's a Grand Prix dressage rider. And I have interviewed her, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago on some show. I don't remember what show. And I've known her ever since. We've chatted occasionally on Facebook and everything. If you think about it, got me thinking about this last night. I have never met her in person. How many people do we, especially you and I, have in our lives that we've become friends with that we've never met in person? That didn't happen before social media. You knew who you knew, right? You met him in person, which is how you knew him before.
Well, perfect example is the fact that today we're having Deanne on from Horse Nation, and we've talked to her for years and years and never met her.
Never met her. I know. It's so weird how all these people, and you know, I felt like I know Jody. People know us because they listen to us every day and they feel like they've met us, right? But it's so weird. That didn't happen 20 years ago. You knew who you knew and that because you met him.
That is a very strange revelation for you for today.
I don't know why. I just thought about it last night when I met Jody. You know, it just was a weird sort of thing. I was going, yeah, I've known her forever. So anyway, that was my big revelation last night.
Here's my revelation. Right now, I'm looking out my window into my front yard, and there is a, we call it, we don't know its name, but it's my neighbor's Great Pyrenees, and it just would like to live here, apparently. And it is currently standing in my front yard and it looks like a polar bear. So Lucas and I call it Wolfie because it looks like a wolf. We don't know what the dog's name is.
Like a dire wolf, like on Game of Thrones?
It looks like a dire wolf. It is so huge. Like polar bear, dire wolf, something like that. But Wolfie is in my front yard. Hi, Wolfie.
Does Wolfie cause any trouble with the animals?
No. They love him. Her. I don't even know if it's a boy or girl.
Wolfie can obviously jump the fence, probably, I would think.
If you hear my dogs barking, it's because they've spotted Wolfie.
All right, let's do some daily winnies. Oh, I have something new for you today for the birthdays. Lisa, one of our auditors, actually, I know a lot of our auditors hate AI, but Lisa's job now, she said her job at work, she wouldn't tell me where she worked, her job at work now has converted her. She's in charge of AI for the whole company. So she put some AI birthday songs together for us and sent me like four or five of them, and I thought I'd play different ones for you as we go through the birthdays.
Oh, yay! Okay?
So here's the first one. I know listeners are going to hate these because they're AI, but I actually kind of like this one.
Happy, happy birthday to the following auditors.
What'd you think?
Let's hear more.
Oh, I'm going to give them to you every day. So that's today's.
Oh, okay.
That's today's. I kind of liked it because it said to the auditors, that means I don't even have to explain that part after.
But what I want is the fact that, you know, our last birthday song, people would start singing instead of the actual birthday song. Homer spotted Wolfie.
I hear that. Homer, Wolfie could eat you in one bite.
Oh, Homer, you got no chance, dude.
So you don't think this one's catchy?
Happy birthday to the following auditor.
So So no, what I liked about the last one is that people were saying that they were singing that birthday song instead of the regular one, but they won't be able to do that with that one.
Okay. Well, we'll play. She sent a lot, so I'll keep playing them and we'll find out. We'll see if we can land on one. Well, we do have some birthdays from our auditors. Debbie Holt.
By the way, I did ask Jared Rogerson to make us a birthday song.
Yeah. Haven't gotten that yet, huh?
And he told me, he's like, why don't you just go to AI? I'm like, you're a musician. You're not supposed to say that.
All right. Our birthday is today. Debbie Holt, happy birthday to you. Debbie, she just got off a cruise to Antarctica, and she's going to be on her Alaska cruise, too. So we'll see you in a couple months there, Debbie. 3 months away, actually. Melissa Aquino and Dawn Deems, happy birthday to all of you.
I just found out that one of my racehorses, Money Problem, you remember?
Yeah.
Money Problem?
Yeah, I remember Money Problem.
First race is Friday night, so good luck to Money Problem. I'll get all the details and give you guys all the deets on Friday for those of you who are co-parents with me.
And Caldera, I saw there was another email, but I didn't even have the heart to read it.
He worked out. He did really good. He had a bullet.
Does that mean he's going to race soon? Like win us some money soon?
They said that he's currently establishing fitness.
Which means there's no prayer anytime soon.
It's any minute. Any minute.
All right. We're not going to leave everybody waiting. And you're not going to leave me waiting.
Wait. I got it. He's going to race right after my new horse arrives.
So not anytime soon. So I assume the horse is not there yet.
The level of I'm just past freaked out. Just, I can't even, I don't know what's going to happen. My vet is on standby because I'm pretty sure that he's not going
to
feel.
That was supposed to happen on Thursday. This tomorrow.
Yeah. So originally they sent me a video. The seller sent me a video of the horse loading in the trailer on Thursday night. I was like, okay, cool. So probably be here Friday night. And I call all day the hauler's number. And turns out all they did was load him in the trailer to take him to another farm to await shipping. So then he left, technically supposed to have left on Monday. So I've just been like, but nobody tells me until like the day. And then they're like, no, tomorrow. So he was supposed to haul out last Monday. And then it got, then the rain and all the storms and everything in California. So it kept pushing back. And it's just, I think if people would just communicate, like, even if English is not your first language, like at least, like, I can't be the only person who
he
is.
He could text you in Spanish and you could translate it.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, why wouldn't you just, I will leave you alone. Okay. So here is my text yesterday. Oh, the day before I said, where are you? Are you safe for the night? I would love an update. I would love an update. These are like every hour. And he said, we're in Arizona resting. And I wrote back, where in Arizona? Because remember how Ginger was like, let's drive to New Mexico and get him. Well, that wouldn't have worked because he wouldn't have actually been in New Mexico. And I said, we're in Arizona. Nothing. Then yesterday, where are you? And where are you planning to go tonight? How is my horse? You still haven't sent me pictures and videos you promised me last Monday. Your horse is okay. They're resting in Texas.
Oh, now they're in Texas.
And now they're in Texas. So then I write back, does the driver have my number? Can I find out when he will arrive? Then yesterday, can you please give me an update? An hour later, can you please give me an update? An hour later, can you please give an update? An hour later, can you please give an update? And that went on every hour until 9 p.m. And finally, his response, which again, if you would just let me know before I have to text you 47 times, I would be a lot less annoying. He wrote back tomorrow afternoon, which is today.
Okay.
And I have like a dental appointment I've already canceled. I have a whole big function movie thing tonight with Lucas. And like, it has to happen at some point.
I know one shipper you'll never be using again.
Again, I looked him up, DOT certified, recommended. The broker is like, this is horrifying. I am so sorry. This has never happened before. And I'm like, well, never recommend him again. Anyway, I'm going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm just, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Getting him fixed the day after he arrives is not a good idea.
No, we have postponed castration because I can't take him to a hospital. Like, he needs to quarantine.
Yeah.
So he is, the
so
good
is
news is
I just
got this beautiful covered arena that's like a giant stall. Covered round pen.
You won't be training any horses in that for a week or two. I'm glad it's, we said that last week. I'm not going to even say it.
Say nothing. It's going to be fine. Just say it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine, Jamie.
Thank you.
You'll be here this afternoon. You'll have your prize horse. You'll have to name it. We need to come up with a name that has delayed in it.
Oh, no. No, I want to forget any of this ever happened. I'm going to call him Speedy.
There you go. Perfect.
I don't know what I'm going to call him. His name is Jubiloso, so that's obviously
nobody
not going
to spell that, so we need to change that.
Yeah.
Besides, your son always comes up with great names. Although I named Craigslist Carl.
You did name Craigslist Carl and Taco Tuesday you named.
Yeah, that's true. I think your son and I are about even, actually.
I feel like your names are not very special, though. Taco Tuesday and Craigslist Carl. I might need something fancier.
Mine are more practical. Taco Tuesday still has his name, though.
He does. Yeah. Craigslist Carl still has his name. Yeah. And I did not spend as much money on those horses as I did this one. So
all right, I'm going to post in the auditor group and we're going to ask for names. We're going to ask.
Do you want a picture? I'll send you a picture of him.
Send me a picture of him and we'll ask for names. And then hopefully we'll get a name sooner than in the less amount of time that it took him to arrive.
Let's not name him until he's here.
Do you have his papers?
So his papers are
Are they being shipped to by very slow carrier?
The papers, pigeon. All the information is in, everything is in, but the Andalusian registry in the U.S. takes forever. Larissa even confirmed it. She's like, it takes a year once you start doing all this stuff. So they're just waiting. Everything has been done. They're just waiting on the papers to arrive. So as soon as they arrive, they'll go to the broker and he'll ship them to me. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know.
Using a different shipper, I hope.
He's going to be a gelding, so I don't give a crap. He's three. He's a gelding. What else do I need to know?
Hey, a couple of news things today. One is, did you see this story? One of our auditors posted this, that they're training scent dogs for the New World screwworm.
What?
They're having a whole class, the USDA, at the National Detector Dog Training Center, which I know existed. They're training them to actually sniff up livestock, you know, cows and horses, to find the New World screwworm. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I never thought they would be able to train them to find that, but apparently so.
Oh, they can train them to, like, detect your blood sugar, you know? I mean, yeah. That is such a great idea.
Yeah, so apparently they're really worried about it and trying to do something, you know?
You just have to tell them to just let all the cow and horse smells go. Don't eat the hooves or the poop.
Right, that's right.
Just smell for the worm.
Well, you know, an auditor did make a good point. They said, too, that they're worried about these dogs sniffing and that this, you know, that they could get it that way. I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, that's
one of the
things.
Oh, my God. Didn't you have to have dog sniffing dogs?
Yeah. And then we have interesting news, and we've had them on the show several times. Hilltop Farm, which is one of the leading breeding and training facilities in the United States for warmbloods out of Maryland.
Yeah. I looked at some stallions there.
Well, and we've had her on the show a number of times, but the owners have decided to sell all 400 acres. They're closing the operation and selling. They announced it to the employees just a week or so ago.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
That's such a...
I hope it stays as a horse farm because it's prime real estate. But they were, you know, they were one of the top breeders. We've had them on talking about breeding. That's what we had them on talking about, was breeding. Now, apparently Natalie, who we had on the show, DeBernardinis, she is going to continue a breeding operation somewhere else. And then the trainer that was there, who's been on the dressage show a number of times, he is also going to start training somewhere else. So the two key people are still going to be in operation, but it won't be like it has been for the last 30 years, you know, as one of the premier breeding facilities in the country. So that was kind of sad news.
What are they going to do with all of these stallions? They've got, they have 6, 12. Oh, my God. There's so many stallions.
Yeah, and apparently they're all finding homes. You know, they're breeding stallions. They're going to find homes, right? So they're all finding homes for them, but I don't know how old the people are that own it. Jane McElroy, it's that family that owns it. And I don't know how old they are. They might just want to retire, you know, and get out of it. I don't know. But that was some big news that we weren't all expecting. So that came out yesterday. I wish I'd seen that before I met with Reese last night, because she knows them very well. She's been to that farm a lot of times. But I don't know how she feels about it.
1824.
So anyway, that's a bit of news.
36 stallions are there.
It's a huge operation. It's 400 acres. I mean, it's a big
property.
Good
Lord.
It's a big property. Speaking of that, I have good news for all of you that have been waiting for the our breeds of the alphabet to continue. I finally got an Oldenburg person to talk to us on Friday.
Oh, wow.
So finally, we're going to continue. I was stuck on O. And then P is next week of the Przewalski. How do you say that? The
Przewalskis.
Przewalski horses. I got a guy coming on to talk about that. So we are continuing our breeds. Finally, I got through this hurdle. And then it's Q. And I think I can find somebody to talk about quarter horse pretty easy. So that should get us through Q.
I was like, where
Q.
are you going to find a Q? Oh, wait. I was like, that's going to be a hard one.
X is a little more difficult. But yeah, so Q should be easy. And then we're rolling. I might get through this year. I'm telling you what, it was so hard. I wrote to about 50 people to talk about Oldenburgs.
That should be fairly easy,
yeah,
you would
nobody
think.
Would get back to me. I was being ghosted. This has been a tough year for guests. And from what I'm hearing from other podcasters, it's a tough year for guests for them, too. It's just, I don't know if people just are worried about the life or the world or whatever, but it's just been a little bit of a tough year. You know what's not tough? Getting your packages when you order them from Chewy. And, you know, cold mornings, shorter delays, and extra layers. Winter barn life looks a little bit different right now, especially, oh my God, all our friends in the Northeast, where we used to live in Massachusetts, had 32 inches of snow. And 70 mile an hour winds. They're buried in snow up there. So I'm glad I moved. But anyway, if you're buried in snow, Chewy will help make your life easier, from feed and supplements to blankets, hoof care, and prescriptions. Get everything you and your horse needs delivered straight to your barn with fast free shipping on orders over $49 and auto ship that keeps essentials arriving on time. You can skip the supply run. You won't be able to make it anyway because you can't drive anywhere. And
so
make
how
the
can
post.
They do it? Is there like magical
yes.
Chewy power
yes.
that can just like beam food to you?
Yes. So anyway, you can find all of your needs at Chewy. I tell you what, we see Chewy boxes sitting out of the garbage at the curb here in this equestrian neighborhood all the time. We got one the other day. Jennifer orders some of the horse feed through Chewy. So for life with horses, there's Chewy. Shop now at chewy.com/equine. We're going to head next to Deanne from Horse Nation to find out what's new over there.
Time to welcome back our friend Deanne from Horse Nation. She was supposed to be here a while ago, but her children, I guess, in the snowstorm were delayed, right, Deanne?
Yeah, 2-hour delay, which is normally great, but first of all, there was no snowstorm. Like, let me just be clear. Our roads are clear. There is maybe some snow on the ground. I don't know. Like, I feel like we've had horribly cold days and actual snow with no delay. I woke up today and assumed there was a power outage. Nope. They said inclement weather.
Okay, sure. Whatever. And then
the principal
how many
didn't want to get out of bed either.
Yeah, right.
And, these teenagers, do you have to get them off? Like, how does it work?
I have 11-year-old twins.
Oh, dear God.
Who are in their last year of elementary school, and a 14-year-old eighth grader.
Okay.
So, yes, one teenager and two tweens.
And what time do they have to go in the morning? I'm always shocked how early they are. The bus goes here at 6:30.
Yeah. So, like, our high school buses are at the corner at 6:30 a.m. Like,
I
can't even, like, you should see me trying to get my children out of bed in the morning, which, like, sure, we can all argue about my poor parenting and, like, my children should be independent, but, like, whatever. Like, you should see me trying to get these kids out of bed in the morning.
Deanne, I'm going to give you a pro tip, because I have a almost 13-year-old who also will not get up. And yeah, I mean, you know what? Anybody wants to judge our parents? Yeah, I get that kid out of bed, because otherwise he wouldn't. So I did this thing. I have a dog and her name is Winx, and she came originally from a crack house. And she is a very strange little border collie mix. And she licks air. She just licks everything. She licks the window. She licks herself. She licks Homer. She cleans his ears. She just licks everything. So every morning for the last, since I got her, I bring her up and now I just go, go get him. And she runs upstairs, jumps in his bed and just paints him with her tongue.
I do that with the corgi. I stick the corgi on them.
Yeah.
But my two girls have my son has a bed the corgi can attack him in. The girls have loft beds.
Mm-hmm. Well, just get a crackhead border collie. They can jump up there.
They can jump. That's true. And I will admit to on Fridays, my children hate me. Like I'm giving them so much fodder for therapy. Like on Fridays, do you guys remember that Rebecca Black song from like, I don't know how many years ago, where that's like, it's Friday, Friday.
Yes. We used to play it on this show, actually. Yes.
Blast that to them. Like, and they hate it, which makes my day.
I'm going to add that. See, we've pro tipped each other. All right. Perfect.
And basically how to troll our children.
Yeah. Because he has an Alexa in his room. So it's nice. Much real. Play Rebecca Black Friday.
Note to self.
I'm writing that down.
I'm going to throw in, though, in their defense, I think it's ridiculous that they have to go to school at 6:30 in the morning. It's just...
Well, and I agree, like truly, and this is not even new research, right? Like all research shows that kids at that age, like need more sleep. And it's better, especially for like the high schoolers and later middle schoolers, if you shift their day, like they're better off starting later and going longer than starting earlier. But no one cares. And and let me be clear, like I also get the like work argument and all of the things. So I'm not trying to like take away from that. That said, it's still miserable. The kids don't function.
No, they're too young for coffee.
Right.
I used to see him go out. I'm like, you poor son of a gun. You don't even get coffee.
I know. When I'm letting the dogs out in the morning and the high schoolers are like walking down the street in the dark, I'm like, oh, sorry about your life, my friends.
Building character.
In minus 2 degrees.
Well, Deanne, before we just keep talking about our children and bore everybody, let's discuss what your article, the one you were, you know which one I'm talking about, the experience versus experience.
Yes. I honestly have been sitting on this for a while because I like compared to most horse folks I know, I don't have the years of constant riding that everybody else does. Like I had horses as a kid, then my parents sold them. And despite like, you know, swinging a leg over whatever nag I could convince somebody to let me ride growing up, like it wasn't until I was an adult that I got to ride absolutely regularly. Right.
Maybe because you kept calling them nags.
Well, I mean, some of them are, right?
I found like, one or two.
But like, you know, as a horse crazy kid who didn't have a horse, anything anyone would let me swing a leg over, I would ride and didn't know what I was doing, but thought I did whatever. But so as an adult, like I've worked my butt off to improve my riding, to like up my knowledge, like all the things. But so it's always been interesting to me when you hear people tout their experience based solely on years, right? And I told the story of this one boarder who my barn manager at the time, and I've fallen into the same trap, probably like just didn't choose her words quite right. Like this boarder had this rescue horse that was flighty and reactive and had ended up in the slaughter pipeline, rescue / slaughter pipeline, depending on the day. And definitely was a horse for an experienced handler, 100%. And probably the third time the horse broke through the stall door or the 15th time the horse dumped her at the top of the driveway, my barn manager goes, you know, she might need a more experienced handler. And the boarder goes, I have experience. I've had horses my whole life. And I grew up riding bareback like the Native Americans. She didn't say Native Americans. And it's like, okay, so there's so much to unpack about that statement, but like,
there's the obvious
despite the obvious, but it's one of those where it's like, okay, you may have had horses, but that doesn't mean that like you have the necessary experience for this one. And that was years and years and years ago. And it totally sat with me. It's clearly one of those things I never forgot because I just put it in an article. And since I've taken over barn management and all the things, I've heard similar sentiments come from people.
Listen, Deanne, I've been eating food my entire life. So that clearly makes me a master chef. Like,
100%.
And I've been playing tennis forever, and I can tell you how much money I've won.
I've been driving since I was 10. That means I'm definitely a NASCAR driver. Yeah. So it sat with me, and I finally was like, I've been meaning to write this article. Like, I need to sit with it, and because it's my own form of therapy, whatever that means. But also, and so it's this discussion on experience in years. Like, time does not equate experienced handling necessarily. And so that was the article, and that was the one I wrote. And so a lot of the main points, really, I think I just summed it up. But that notion of being able to know if you're experienced enough for this horse, this type of horse, this, fill in the blank, or have you spent your entire life riding made horses or pokey lesson horses whose answer when they're confused is to stop and look back at you, right? And Jamie, with everything you do, I would imagine, especially as you're like rehoming and things like that, you run into this a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Like, sometimes people say one thing and when they arrive, it's a whole different thing. But that's been going on. I mean, every horse person knows that. Oh, yeah, I've ridden horses my whole life. And you get there and they're like, oh, wow, what horses? Where's the plug? Put in the quarter. So it's tough. But, it just goes back to that. Perfect practice makes perfect, and seeking education and constantly trying to educate yourself and better yourself, taking lessons. My mother-in-law would be like, why are you taking lessons? You've been riding your whole life. Yeah, because there's other people that are better.
Right.
So I want to be better.
And one of the main pieces of one of the sections of the article is called the humility factor. And I always feel like that's such a big piece. And I am not an overly humble person in most aspects of my life. I'm actually kind of a cocky jerk most of the time.
That's why we love you. That's why you keep coming on the show.
and I play sports that lend themselves to that, right? Like, that's what it does. But, with horses, I feel like, the cockier and more confident you get, maybe not more confident, but like, they're going to be really quick to teach you a lesson. And I think that ability to like take a step back, ask a question and be like, what don't I know?
The emergency room is a good reminder.
Emergency room helps with that. Emergency room definitely helps with that. And I feel like, right, horses are such tattletales too. Man, do they let you know.
I was reading the comments that you got on Facebook on this article, and most people do agree with you. Experience does not equate to knowledge, nor does knowledge equate to experience. That sentence alone describes this whole thing, right? And it's true of everything in life. It's not just horses. It's true of everything we
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Other, we wouldn't have weird news if this was
this. That's also true. And I mean, to be fair, I think I'm preaching to the choir on this one, not just to you guys, but also like, in writing the article itself, the folks that need to hear it.
Yeah. They aren't reading your article or listening to this show. Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's why I said it probably was just my own form of therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I need to put this into the ether.
We would never do that on this show. No. Use it for our own personal therapy. Weird. So real quick, before we run out of time, let's run through the 7 mistakes that you should not make in the winter.
I feel that's appropriate for the East Coast right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was funny because this one I like wrote a little bit ago, but I'm like, oh, we still here.
Yep.
We had a week of 60. Now we're back to 20s.
And the worst blizzards when we lived in the Northeast always happened the end of February and into March. Those were the worst blizzards every year. Look, this one proved it, right?
Well, and I think because the snow's heavier too, right? So it causes more problems.
Yeah. I mean, you get over it quicker, but we had a March storm. We were without power for 8 days. So woof. Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. So running through them real quick, obviously go on for more details, but the most important thing is Water intake, obviously, number one. But one thing that I see a lot here, and I just want to step up on my soapbox right now, which is it is better for your horse to be cold than your horse to be hot. Get your lazy ass outside and take the blanket off before you go to work. I just cannot stand driving by people. Like, it'll be 50 something degrees in the middle of the day and horses still have blankets on, and it horrifies me.
With you on that. And as somebody who keeps her horses out most of the time, my big thing is condensation, right? Like, that's my big determinant is it going to be wet? Because let's get real. I live in Western Pennsylvania. I don't live in Saskatchewan. So like, cold for us is a little different than cold for people in the true North. But so for the most part, my horses, if it's dry out, they probably fine, barring an old, sick, et cetera, you know, like, let's use some common sense on this one. They're much happier not over blanketed, plus fewer skin problems, plus all the things.
Well, I have one that wears blankets. He's a thoroughbred ace, and he just has no hair. I mean, he just has no hair. But then I have a foal who looks like a woolly mammoth.
Yak, so, you know,
it's just horses. It just depends. Read the horse in front of you. See what that individual horse needs, because you can't just throw a big statement of no blankets, all blankets, you know, and some horses are clipped, you know, but just all the things. So just be smart. And just don't let them get hot. Hot is worse than cold.
Right. And I had a thoroughbred. She's since passed, who would at 40 would shiver. She got blanketed, you know, because she just was that horse. And the big one for me, I know we beat the proverbial dead horse on this one, is forage. Like, people are always like, don't they get cold? I'm like, give them food, not grain, give them forage. Their body temperature will regulate. Like, keep these horses.
Round bells in the winter are your friend. I love looking out and being like, I don't have to go throw hay because it's already out there.
It's my favorite thing.
Well, Deanne, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. We will talk to you again in a month. And everybody, please go check out horsenation.com. Any parting words, Deanne? How you doing? Anything else?
Oh, to my friends not in the South, hang in there. Stay warm. Spring is coming, I promise.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Justin Long, host of Straight from the Horse Doctor's Mouth, and I want to talk to you about something every horse owner dreads: emergencies. In these moments, indecision makes it hard to know what to do or if you should call your vet. That's why Dr. Latcher and I created the Equine Emergency Vet Care Guide. This is an app that walks you step by step through common equine emergencies, helps you decide when to call, and tells you exactly what information your veterinarian needs. It's not a replacement for your vet. It helps you work with them towards the best outcome for your horse. Search Equine Emergency App in the App Store or Google Play and be prepared before the emergency happens.
I know a lot of you are missing the Chinese medicine segment that we did once a month here. They just elected to stop doing it, but I got to thinking, most of you have not heard that Dr. Wendy used to do a traditional Chinese medicine segment on the driving radio show. And by the way, that isn't even available anymore anywhere. That has gone away. So I have some of the segments that she did, though. So I thought I would play those occasionally. So you get your Chinese medicine fix. And who better to do it than Dr. Wendy Ying? And today she's talking about what cold means in traditional Chinese medicine and how it affects you and your horse.
Glenn, you and I, we know we're lucky and we live in Florida, but I feel like that we've kind of, you know, we have to do something besides just gloat about the cold. So this week I wanted to talk about cold as a Chinese medicine pathogen and the things that you can do about it. So in Chinese medicine, we have like 6 exogenous pathogens, right? So we have cold, wind, summer heat, dampness, and fire. So those pathogens fight with your yin and your yang and your elements, and they're in this delicate balance, right? So if you're healthy and your defense mechanisms are all in place and can stop, like, say, in this case, cold from invading your body, then you are fine. But if the wind or if the cold gets too strong, or if your body, if you're not healthy, like say your little pony who was malnourished, if you have something like that, then the wind, sorry, then the cold can invade your body and cause damage. So the basic theory of Chinese medicine, you know, is the yin and the yang, right? And your yin is your air conditioner and your yang is your furnace. So when you get cold invading your body, it damages your yang. And your yang is like, you know, it has a lot to do with like your life force and your kidneys. And also when you lose your yang when you lose your yang is when you start to show your age. So kidney yang signs would be like your back hurts, you get arthritis, you just feel like super weak. And, you know, like in animals, old dogs, they'll like kind of drip urine or they'll lose bowel control. So that's yang deficiency. So you know, when you're outside in the cold, right, that when you first go out there, you feel like, okay. But then the longer you're out there, you get colder and colder and colder till you can feel the cold down to your bones, right? It's gone all the way in. So that's kind of like theoretically what we're thinking about that. And the damage that cold can do, I mean, is quite obvious in Chinese medicine and in just, you know, common sense. Like the first sign of cold is cold extremities, right? So like pathogenic problem of cold would be frostbite, right?
Right.
And so because that causes stagnation, because what happens is you get cold and your body like squeezes down all its blood vessels. And so you lose blood flow to your extremities because you're trying to stay warm. So that's stagnation. You know, I always talk about stagnation and pain, and it kind of like is a little bit hard to understand. So that happens all within your body. Another thing that can happen with cold is you get qi blockage. So you get, you know, stagnation in your meridians, and you need the energy to flow through your body to stay healthy and to stay. Like, that's why you get so tired. You're just like, oh, I have no qi left, because it's not flowing. And a great example of stagnation with cold is the ice cream headache.
Oh, really?
Have you ever had ice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had the ice cream headache?
Sure. Yeah.
Why does that happen? Right. So you have cold, like you're drinking ice cream or a shake or something, right? You have this palatine artery on the top of your mouth. And when it gets super cold, it spasms down really tight because of the cold, and you get like a massive headache.
So that's a
great way to think about stagnation. So other things that cold can do when it damages your body chronically, it can manifest as arthritis, right? So, you know, old dogs that don't like the cold and they're stiff, they've like lost a lot of blood flow to their hips, like, you know, that's like one of the perfect examples of a cold problem. In horses, you know, you have some horses that are so arthritic in their pasterns, and then in the winter they're cold and it hurts them to walk. And those horses, we know, older animals, we need to keep them warm because their joints will feel better if they're warm and they can fight off the cold. Another thing you can do, and when I have a yang deficiency, which I very rarely have yang deficiencies in Florida because our environmental temperature is so warm. So I don't use a lot of moxa in my practice. You know what moxa is, Glenn?
No.
Moxa is like, it's an herb that comes in a little stick and is like smolders. It's like a punk that you use to do fireworks. So it smolders and it releases this scent that's like marijuana. So that's always a big joke when you're moxing. But you can wave the moxa over acupuncture point to warm that point, or you can put it on the needle and then it warms the needle down into the body. So acupuncturists that live in the north use a lot of moxa in the wintertime. And also with older people, they use moxa a lot. They have a little box that you put the needles in the people's back, right? Like lumbar area. And then you put this moxa box on top. It's a wooden box. And then you stick the moxa on the needle tips. And then you close the lid of this wooden box. And it keeps all the heat right into the lower back. But we don't do that. We don't do the moxa box on animals because of the danger of lighting them on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another thing you can do about cold is...
Well, they'd be warm.
They would be warm, but they'd be burnt. So, is you can use warming foods. So especially with older animals, in the wintertime, it's great to give them warming foods. So you know I'm always like, don't feed your dog chicken because it's too hot. This is a case where chicken, it would be great to feed your dog. You know, or you as a person, if you can eat chicken as a warming food.
So and for the horses, food, what else is warming?
Lamb.
It's all meat. That's though, why, isn't it? Right? Vegetables are really cooling, aren't they? Aren't they?
Well, no, it depends. Like, there's vegetables. Like for horses, what would you feed them to keep them warm? Right? You'd feed them oats. Oats are really warming. And root vegetables, so carrots. You know, horses love carrots. Parsnips are really good. And a great thing for horses, young deficient horses, would be pumpkin. And then there's herbs that are really warming, like cinnamon. So pumpkin and cinnamon, oh my God, horses would love that. And I would suggest cooking it a little bit, because when you cook the food, it's easier to digest. So they don't have to use as much energy to digest it.
So what you're saying is we need to bake our horse's pumpkin pie.
Yes, but leave out the sugar.
Okay.
But you can just roast a pumpkin or, squash. Or.
Because pumpkin pie, what's it have in it? It has cinnamon and pumpkin. I mean.
I know. Exactly. Well, that's why we eat it at Thanksgiving.
That's right.
I'm sure that was stolen from the Chinese.
It might have been, yeah.
You know. Yeah. So one of the things I really like to suggest to people is herbs are really important. And you don't have to, buy my herbs from the Jingtang. You know, you can incorporate herbs into your everyday diet, because lots of herbs are used medicinally, but are also used for food, right? And just everyday diet. So one of the greatest herbs that I like to use for young problems is turmeric. Turmeric is also known as yellow ginger. And turmeric is what makes curry yellow, curry powder yellow. Yeah, so you know how I have that golden yellow salve that I use for wounds and things? So everybody says, oh, it smells like curry powder. Well, that's why it smells like curry powder, because there's turmeric in there. But like turmeric, ginger, and cinnamon, those are all herbs that you see in like Indian foods and Chinese foods, and they would tend to eat that more in the wintertime to stay warm, so because they eat seasonally. But for your animals, there's actually a great site on Facebook that's called the Turmeric Users Group, and it has some really great ways to incorporate turmeric into your own diet and also your pet's diet. And basically, it has great anti-inflammatory properties, so it's really useful to use when you have, painful chronic arthritis and your animal's in a cold climate. So you give the turmeric. If you give some turmeric powder, then it warms their body and it helps their young, and then it also relieves pain.
Who knew? I didn't know. And I'm I just looked up turmeric on Facebook. There's about a million groups. I never knew there were that many groups for turmeric.
I know. Yeah, there are a million groups. But the Turmeric Users Group has really great information, lots of different recipes. And turmeric is very, very safe. So, and it's easy to find. One of the things that you have to do is make sure you get a good quality turmeric powder. But you can find that online anywhere. Because some of the turmeric is used, like they take out the active ingredient, and you don't want that. Like they make turmeric pills and then they sell the powder as like, you know, as a powder, there's lower price, but that's just the byproduct of making the turmeric pills. Then all the active ingredients are in the pills. So you don't, you make sure to buy a good quality turmeric powder. And you don't need a ton of it. Be good for you, Glenn, with your limes.
So turmeric is really the lesson of the day here, huh?
Turmeric's a lesson of the day to help fight cold.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from an HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's time for the time that we just share what's going on all over the world that is super weird. If you're ever looking through the news, wherever you get it, and you see something and you're like, whoa, that is super weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. And then you can participate in sharing stories from close to your home or far away, like Shelly, Amanda, Laureen, Susan, Carol, Michelle, Stephanie, and Matt. All did. Thank you guys for sending me these stories. We're going to start in Pennsylvania. Do you know where Pocono Pines are?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a man on the loose. They can't find him. Although, they did get him. Never mind. Here's his mugshot. Oh, I wouldn't want to meet that guy. So there was a officers had to respond. I don't know how to tell the story. Okay, officers responded around 6 p.m. Monday to a fire at a home in Pocono Pines. And the flames were going up and they damaged the home and three connected townhomes. And all of the neighbors were like, it was Sean. It was Sean. Sean McDermott lived in that home, and apparently he kept repeatedly lighting small fires inside his home throughout the day. He would light a fire and then it would start burning and then he would put it out and the neighbors were like, there's a fire. And then like he would light another fire and it would start burning and
was
he would put it out.
Cold or was he
The final straw was he lit a fire on the floor and it was while it was burning out. He was like, I'll just cover it up with the couch. Well, then the couch caught on fire and then everything caught on fire. And it's a very logical explanation for why he was setting all these fires, Glenn.
What was that? I can't wait.
His house was full of spiders and he had to get them.
Well, that'll do it. That'll probably get him eventually.
Okay, well, it turns out that they brought him into prison, I think, and booked him and stuff. And then he ended up getting released, jumped in a U-Haul truck, and fled. And so that's why they were saying they got to get him, because now he's being arrested for arson, aggravated arson, and several other related offenses, police are saying. So if you know Sean McDermott, he had some spiders and he took to the, he was going to solve it himself, Glenn.
I assume by the reaction to his mugshot that he is a guy you would picture burning his own house down.
He is very scary looking. Like he's not like obviously he's crazy, but like he's got like a mohawk, you know, just a scary dude that you wouldn't want to meet at all ever. Anyway, next. Boys are dumb. Let's just start with that. Boys are dumb. Glenn, have you ever played beer pong?
Yeah, but I think like 40 years ago.
Yeah, I never played it. And I started asking Chad this morning, I was like, what, how do you play beer pong? Do you bounce it in or do you throw it? Lucas is like, you bounce it one time. And I was like, what? You're freaking 12. You should know how to play beer pong.
He's been on TikTok too much.
Anywho, he doesn't have any of that social crap there. So, there is a 19-year-old, boys are dumb, who is playing beer pong. And he was just standing there. And all of a sudden, he like grabs his throat My throat hurts. I can't swallow. I can't breathe. And so all of his, how was that? That was good. That was acted out well.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
So he can't breathe. His throat hurts. He's just like all of a sudden like dying. And he is, well, what do we do? What do we do? We put him in the car and we rush him to the emergency room. And
he's, they extract he's, a ping pong ball from his throat.
So close. Because what they did find is they found a beer cap that had fallen into his cup, and in the slamming back of the beer in the beer pong game, he, without knowing it, ingested a beer cap top.
That would cut you up.
Doctors did have to use surgical intervention to remove the bottle cap due to potential for more problems.
So which would have been better, the ping pong ball or the beer cap? I think the ping pong ball would have just killed him because it would have got stuck good.
Somebody had to give him the Heimlich. And you know what I want to rely on my life is a bunch of drunk college kids playing beer pong.
Giving you the Heimlich.
Giving you the Heimlich. Oh, the cool thing is this article, which is on the New York Post, also includes x-rays. Thank you for that. I didn't need that. Appreciate it. All right. The next one is, this is a CNN reporting that in advance of the winter storm that is affecting much of the nation, which is currently now, so this is like a week ago, the country's on high alert, I mean, as we should be, but FEMA had to send out messages to all of their employees with the upcoming storm that currently is affecting the world that you are not allowed to warn of ice. You cannot warn about ice. FEMA is only to use correct and accurate descriptors of weather conditions to communicate clearly to the American people.
Ice is a weather condition.
I know.
It also was. I can see now it's being mistaken for the other ice.
Yeah, yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, just like you think if they were going to talk about weather and they mentioned the word ice, that people would just automatically understand that it was
ice,
you know,
yeah,
frozen water. Yeah. There you go.
Gotta wonder.
And one more. I know we have a lot of listeners in Michigan, so I wanted to save the story for them. We're going to go to Chelsea, Michigan, because the Chelsea Police Department would like a word with you, person in Chelsea, Michigan, who went to the Goodwill Donation Center and took a whole bunch of stuff in and like carried this one item wrapped in a shirt, and just, you know, they basically, when you drop off a Goodwill, you just walk in, you set the stuff on the table, then you leave. Well, the good news is they have cameras. So they are looking for the woman who dropped off wrapped in a towel. Do you want to guess? What? Just guess. What do you think was dropped off in the Goodwill wrapped in a towel?
It had to be a gun. No, an adult toy.
It's a human skull. Oh. Human skull.
Okay, I wouldn't have went there.
I know. That's what's so great. And so they're saying if you are the woman who dropped off a human skull at Goodwill Donation Center in Chelsea, Michigan, the police department would like a word
We'd
with
like
you.
To know whose skull it was.
Yes. They say the skull appeared to be intact and did not have any visible damage, but they have turned it over to the county medical examiner, who has forwarded it to the anthropology department at the University of Michigan for further study. Good luck!
Do you think she's related? Did we talk about on Weird News the guy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania with all the skulls and body parts?
I don't know, because I don't typically do like that. Okay.
This is probably his girlfriend.
All those people that I named, Shelly, Amanda, Lorraine, Susan, Carol, Michelle, Stephanie, and Matt, y'all send me some weird stuff. I mean, twisted. Again, I love it, but I can't do it. So when you hear these stories and you're like, that's not the story. Because it was inappropriate.
I think they just like you to get them. I think they're just showing them to you.
I mean, I did not need x-rays of the bomb that somebody had put in a place that bombs don't belong.
Oh, I saw that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I get from you crazy people.
Like a real bomb. It was like,
It's live.
Yeah.
It's a live bomb.
You know, I think they did that on Grey's Anatomy once when somebody had a hand grenade there and they had that.
No way.
They had to take, you know, evacuate the hospital and then the surgeons that, you know, had to take it out were risking their lives and all that stuff. So that this happened in real life though this time. So.
Yeah, again, not gonna. I kind of just did that, didn't I?
Yeah, but you kind
of
did.
I'm currently staring at X-rays of somebody's bottle cap in somebody's throat. So you know what? Nothing's off limits.
Okay, I'm going to cleanse your souls before we end the show today.
Please do.
I will be here. Jamie has to go wait at the barn for the truck to eventually show up at some point.
It's going to be here any minute.
So she has to go do that. But I'm doing the post show today with the auditor monthly report. Ashley has sent over all the things I need to review with y'all about what's going on with the network and all that stuff. So I will do the monthly report today. But so hang on, auditors, for that. But I'm going to cleanse your soul. So, you know, you get on TikTok or Instagram and you're just scrolling and then you find the one that catches your attention and then you go to their account and you're there for 2 hours. Well, that's how it was last night on TikTok. This particular dog has 6 million followers. Have you run across Viola Snow, a Siberian husky? So this guy in London.
I don't do TikTok. I only see stuff on
Facebook.
He's
on Instagram too. You know, he shows up there. He's probably on Facebook too. But Viola Snow's this beautiful white marbled Siberian husky, just beautiful dog. And all he does is walk around and let strangers say hi to pet his dog, and he films it. Well, now after gaining 6 million followers, he can't go anywhere where people aren't running up to him and saying, "Is this Viola?" And they want to pet him and take pictures with him. And I ended up watching that for like 2 hours last night. Just watching this dog make people so happy on the street because they all recognize him. There'd be 15 people around this dog. He's like the most popular dog on all of social media.
Okay, and I'm going to look up Viola Snow on Facebook.
Snow. I don't know if he's on Facebook or not, but he's this huge following. And this is all he does for a living now. And you never see a picture of the guy. And everybody always says, "I wonder what you look like," because he never shows himself. He's always filming. And apparently he's like 6'7", so he stands out too. But he'll be on the train. He'll be on the subway or whatever, on the tube or whatever they call it. And everybody recognizes the dog on the tube. And he just lets the dog go, and the dog goes and says hi to everybody. It's the greatest dog for doing this. But yeah, if you want to waste...
And he's in England? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Viola Snow is on Facebook.
Oh, there you go. And beautiful dog. I mean, he's a perfect dog to do this with. But he never expected he'd make a career out of, and apparently makes a lot of money because he has 6 million followers.
How does that translate to money? People just like...
Well, he gets paid for the videos on TikTok and Instagram YouTube.
Do people just give Viola a dollar?
No, he doesn't he doesn't take any money from people, but it's just cool. So anyway, that was my highlight last night, wasting all that time watching this dog greet Londoners. So and the other good thing about today is it's National Chocolate Covered Nut Day. So there's that.
What? That was so random. You go from talking about a husky to a chocolate covered nut. Happy Chocolate Covered Nut Day, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Which Jamie will do with her horse eventually when she gets it.